If you'd open your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy over in the New Testament. 2 Timothy, it's the last letter, by the way, the Apostle Paul wrote in all of the letters that he wrote, one of the prison letters. We don't think about 2 Timothy being a prison letter, but it is. You might want to just jot down your bulletin what the letters are. Like, it's easy to remember. It's like Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon. And I should have said 2 Timothy first, if you want to do it the way it is in the Bible, then Philemon. So you have each one of those books. In fact, 2 Timothy is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. He was beheaded, you remember that story, by tradition, it says, in A.D. 67, there in Rome. And Dottie and I and a group, not every group, in fact, only one time, I don't think we had a group. Just you and I went where he was beheaded. It doesn't matter. You can tell we're both getting old. We're debating things that don't matter. We're talking about things that don't matter. But I think it was when we went by ourselves that they took us. I'm wrong. We took a group. You're right. I'm back doing it again. But okay. All right. We went to this place that tradition says the Apostle Paul was beheaded, and it's the most beautiful place. Today it's a monastery, but be that as it may, tradition says that when they cut his head off, beheaded him, that his head bounced three times on the ground, and that each time that his head hit the ground, a spring of water gushed up. Now, that's just what tradition says. The fact is, where we were, there are three springs of water, just like I've described, gushing up. So it's really kind of a feeling. But nonetheless, the Apostle Paul beheaded this letter he wrote very soon before that experience. And I want you to look at me in 2 Timothy in chapter number 3, because he says something that is so relevant in our day and time. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 1, the Apostle Paul said, but know this. And I love it in the Bible when it says know something. I mean, there's so much we do not know. The Apostle Paul said, here's something you need to know. That in the last days, perilous times will come. Difficult times. Terrible times. Your translation, whatever it is, may use different words. But he's talking about the last days. In fact, he has mentioned that back in 1 Timothy. The last days, you say, what is that talking about? The last days is not talking about the future. Listen to me very carefully. In the Bible, when the Apostle Paul uses the little phrase, the last days, he's talking about the period of time from Jesus' first coming until his return, which means he's talking about now, N-O-W. For you and for me, it is now. We're in that era of time between Christ's first coming and his second return. His return has not come. So somewhere out here in this period of time is what he's talking about. And he says this, it's going to be a time of great difficulty. And he said, here's why. Men, he's telling now about how the people are going to be. And you talk about a word picture of our day, here it is. He said, men will be lovers of themselves. Now, that's a very interesting thought. You see, when a person begins to love himself or herself more than they love other people, at some point, that elevates on to they love themselves more than they even love God. And he's going to come back to that in just a moment. It's a very, very interesting picture here. He said, men be lovers of themselves. They're going to be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. And then here comes a phrase that I want us to focus on tonight. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now that is quite a statement for a person to make. They're going to love pleasure more than they love God. Now, what could describe 2019 any better, any clearer than to say you and I live in a day and time where pleasure has become like the God. It's just a different pleasure for one, different pleasure for another. But the fact of the matter is, what he says is, they will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, I have no idea what translation you have. I'm in the New King James. And I love the old King James Bible. I grew up on the old King James Bible. Most all the Bible verses I have memorized there from my boyhood days growing up, really, the old King James Bible. But let me just say this. Here's where the old King James, the 1611 King James, you talk about a translation blunder that is really very important. We have a translation blunder. And look with me, whatever translation you are dealing with, if you have the King James Version, and I love it, don't do away with it if you love it, it's fine. But what the King James Version says, it says lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, the New King James, the NIV, the New Living Translation, and the New American Standard, they don't say lovers of God, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Look in your Bible. If you have one of these translations, it says lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That word rather, and if you have the old King James, it has the word more. It is the Greek word malon, M-A-L-L-O-N, and that word means instead of or rather. Like if you say, I love something more than I love this other thing. Well, what you're saying is you love this other thing, but you love this other thing more than you love this thing. But if you say, I love this instead of loving that, you've said a completely different thing. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, here's what has happened. Not only have these people, and during this period of time, and see, as you think about, like, you think about how everything has changed. And I know change is just part of life. I understand that. And sometimes change is very difficult. But like so much about mankind has changed. I think about my grandparents, what kind of people they were. Like a man's handshake was his bond. His word was his bond. And now we have to have contracts and nobody wants to honor them either. It's just, you know, a yay's no longer yay, nay's no longer nay. But it didn't used to be this way, but it's just grown more and more that way. And then this whole pleasure thing, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's so very different. This whole idea of pleasure. You see, it's one of Satan's game plans. And it's one of his oldest game plans because, think about Solomon. So long ago, the Bible says the wisest man who ever lived, read the book of Ecclesiastes, he tried every imaginable pleasure that he could dream up. And he had the resources to do them. And he just went from one pleasure to the next pleasure to the next pleasure. That's what the whole book of Ecclesiastes is about. And he concluded that all of these things he tried, vanity of vanity, empty, nothing. And see, that's pretty much where we are today in our culture. It's just this pleasure and then this pleasure and then this pleasure. See, those who really found their pleasure in the Texans or the Cowboys won going to the Super Bowl, they got to find them a new pleasure. But don't feel sorry for them. They will find one. They'll just move from one sport to another. And while the sporting world is the pleasure for endless numbers, that another thing is a pleasure for another number, and another thing's for another group. But you see, none of that ever satisfies. And that Satan, he just continues to trick us with that. Now, here's what I thought about as I thought about that little phrase, lovers of pleasure rather than or instead of lovers of God. I thought, you know, if pleasure could fool somebody as wise as Solomon, then I need to be on guard. You need to be on guard. For I know I'm not equal to Solomon in wisdom, and doubt you are. Because the Bible says no one is ever as wise as Solomon. And so here's this game plan, this trick that the devil has where we just, you know, I mean, this is a whole deal. This is a whole deal. Pleasure, you know, we need to be on guard from pleasures. Pleasure instead of lovers of God. And you say, well, what's so tricky about pleasure? How is it pleasure when in itself may not be a bad thing, but it can lead to bad things? How does this work? Well, the danger of pleasure, and if you take your bulletin, we'll do a little, you have some blank space to write. But first of all, pleasure can be very subtle. That's one of the tricky things about pleasure. Pleasure in itself, whatever it may be, may in and of itself not be sin. But if we're not careful, many pleasures that in themselves are not sin, they can lead to sin. And it can be just the most subtle thing in the world. Someone said to me 2 weeks ago, interesting, they brought up the subject. Some word was brought up about the emphasis on the quiet time, and they said, you know, I've done something. I've canceled my subscription to the Chronicle. I said, well, why'd you do that? I said, I did that some years ago, but why did you do it? And he said, well, I thought about it. I get up every morning, go out and get the paper, and when I get through reading everything in the paper, I don't have much time at all to read my Bible. And he said, in fact, he went on to say, I told my wife, I'm canceling my subscription to Chronicle. Now, I'm not suggesting everybody go and cancel your subscription to Chronicle. I actually canceled mine for a different reason. I didn't think it had, well, I won't go into why I canceled mine. You know, there I go. I'm showing my age. Well, anyway, but pleasure can keep many people from doing what God would have them do. And we deal with that every Sunday in God's work in the church. Every Sunday, you know. And what they're doing in itself may not be bad at all. But when it becomes more important than God, it's not just bad at all. It is sin. S-I-N. And we just have to, it's such a subtle thing, we don't realize what is going on. Another thing about pleasure, not only can it be very subtle, it can be very seductive. You see, the happiness that pleasure gives is a real deal. But it's a real deal for the moment. It's temporal. It's not eternal. And we don't quite understand that. See, there's never enough. There's just never enough. You know, what is that verse in Ecclesiastes? It says, the eye is never satisfied. And the ear is never content with hearing what the ear hears. We always want to see more. We always want, it's just it's like a trap. And pleasure can be that. And we don't want to go back in our Christian life and say what we've got to do is avoid pleasure. No, we don't need to avoid pleasure. But we need to be on guard that we don't let pleasure get us to the point where we love pleasure rather than love God. And, oh, I could just illustrate this over and over and over and over. On both sides, I see people that are able to do this and that and yonder, and yet they let these things keep them from being what they once were with God. At the very same time, I see other people that are able to do the equal things, but they've just drawn some boundaries. And they've said, you know, I'm not going to let this stop me from doing the things I know that I need to do for God. And the reason being is that they love God more than they love pleasure. And then another thing, pleasure can be substitutionary. We sometimes substitute pleasure for the real thing. We substitute temporal pleasures for eternal blessings, and we need to be on guard of that. So I say to you tonight, you may not have thought much about it, but think about things in your life that if you were honest about it, you have not meaning to do so, but you've let something, or you could let something that in and of itself is not a sin at all, but you've let that thing elevate itself to the point that the truth of the matter is you love pleasure instead of loving God. Now, you say, well, what's the motivation to help me not do that? Well, the joy of one day hearing God, hearing Jesus say, come, take your inheritance, which was prepared for you. Oh, I love that verse. It's in Matthew 25. What he's saying is, all the pleasures of all the world for all the time is never going to bring you the pleasure of hearing the Lord Jesus say, come, take your inheritance, prepared kingdom for you. I'm telling you, that's going to be the pleasure above every pleasure. Now, here's what I want to do in our prayer time tonight. First of all, let me encourage you tonight not to do what I do, but I just simply say to you, we have prayer and we have music. Like sometimes during our time, I just sit and pray and then I get up and sing. Other Sunday nights, I seem to sing the whole way, and other Sunday nights, I seem to. So you just do as the Spirit leads you to do. Likewise, if you're here tonight and you say, you know, during this period of singing and praying, I have a decision for God to make. Now, it's a little different than on Sunday morning. Instead of coming down to the front, I would encourage you to go over here to your left. And there are ministers there and others that will be there as people come. They'll pray with you. They'll talk to you about any decision you need to make. If you want to join the church, if you want to come for your baptism, if you want to come invite the Lord Jesus in your heart, during this time, while some of us are praying, others are singing, then we sing and others pray. It's not orchestrated. Just let the Spirit of God work in you what works best for you. One shoe does not fit all sizes. But in the midst of all that, nothing more important than people getting decisions made. And we can do that right over here, and then they'll go to the decision room and they'll pray with you, give you what you need to do. So here's what I want us to focus on tonight. I want you, number one, I'm going to suggest two things, and then you let the Holy Spirit lead you to pray and focus on what you need to. But would you consider praying about these two things? Number one, pray that the Holy Spirit will guard you that you would ever love pleasure more than you love God. And if you say that can't happen to me, you probably are next. Don't ever say, man, I couldn't do that. Satan will hear that and he'll just come in a trap door. Ask God, God, would you, Holy Spirit, protect me that I will never be a pleasure lover instead of, rather than, a God lover. Pray that for yourself. Number two thing, pray the very same thing for your family. Some of you tonight may have family members that is exactly what's happening. Good people, their pleasure is not a sin in itself, but they've let that become almost like their God. Would you pray that the Holy Spirit would show them that love and pleasure instead of loving God is a bad choice, and your prayer for your own family as well as for yourself can be a help. And then as the Spirit leads, you pray for whatever God has in your heart. Father God, while we prepare right now to get ready to worship you and praise you and pray, and God, each of us tonight may be doing things in a different way in a different time, but God, I just pray now that there shall be an anointing on this time of prayer and praise, that we will sense your presence. And God, I pray for all of us. Now, I can't pray everybody's prayer, but I can pray for everybody. And God, I want to put myself in the group of everybody. Holy Spirit, protect me from letting pleasure be what I love rather than instead of God. I pray that for myself. I pray that for my family. I pray that for our church. I pray that specifically for each person here tonight, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.